Kids aren't the only ones who want to know how the Trump administration is going to act to slow climate change. Because the U.S. signed the Paris Climate Agreement, it has to answer to the international community. And under President Obama, the U.S. committed to reducing greenhouse gas emissions 26 to 28% below 2005 levels by 2025. Zara Hirji with Inside Climate News has been reporting on this, and she joins me now. Hi, Zara.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So the main way the U.S. was going to meet its climate goal was through cutting emissions from coal-fired power plants through the Clean Power Plan. Trump signed an executive order that begins the process of undoing that plan. But now other signatories of the Paris Agreement are asking tough questions about how the U.S. will meet that goal. Who is asking these questions and what answers are they getting from the administration?
Yeah, a lot of countries have been posing questions to the U.S. about how it's going to meet its short-term climate goals and also asking about its plans and potential future policies to meeting its midterm and longer goals. This includes questions from China, questions from the EU, questions from Japan. And they're asking specifically, can you lay out your policies for meeting your 2020 goals? How can you do that if you are not planning on going through with the Clean Power Plan? And in many of these cases, the U.S. has provided a boilerplate response, saying that they're only going to, you know, put in place new policies that will boost U.S. economy and U.S. competitiveness. And they also mentioned to these other countries repeatedly that they are reviewing their existing climate policies.
Yeah, the Trump administration is using sort of the buzzwords energy independence, competitiveness in response to how it will act on climate change, meaning it doesn't want to sacrifice jobs or the coal industry for any action it would take. And you've reported they've also been very careful not to use the words clean energy or mention renewables. But how could the U.S. possibly meet its goals under the agreement without renewable energy? Or is that the point that they'll have to withdraw?
Well, there have been a lot of analyses that have come out recently about how the executive orders, like the one you mentioned previously, and some of the other initiatives that the Trump administration has been pushing, really make it impossible for the U.S. to meet its Paris climate goals. And so there is this big question about what would it mean even if the U.S. stays in this agreement, knowing that it couldn't meet these goals. But I think a lot of groups, even environmental groups that aren't optimistic that Trump-led U.S. could meet these goals, still sees a very big reason and incentive for the U.S. to stay in this agreement. And that's what many people have kind of dubbed a seat at the table. Climate policy has really, under Obama, become embedded in diplomatic relations. From a diplomatic perspective, it could have impacts far outside the climate world if the U.S. were to leave this agreement.
Like what? Can you give me an example?
There's this idea in diplomacy that even if you switch governments, there's this expectation that an administration or a country will still meet its long-term commitments and its goals. For example, within the negotiating space, besides just what its specific Paris pledge will be, the U.S. has been one of the leaders in driving what's called transparency talks. And that's all about how within this framework, within this agreement, countries can keep each other accountable. There's a big incentive for the U.S. to stay in and help drive these conversations to make sure that other governments are being honest about where their current emissions are and what that means in terms of meeting their goals. And if the U.S. were to leave the whole agreement, it wouldn't have that same negotiating power. And the U.S. has been driving transparency talks around climate negotiations, not just on Obama, but even under the Bush administration.
The UN climate talks just wrapped up in Bonn, Germany. You reported that the U.S. sent an unusually small delegation.
The U.S. sent 7 people, Last year, to this same mid-year meeting, they sent 44, so it's a much smaller group. The big thing is they were meant to be the eyes and ears of the administration, to be there because they have to be there. But this main meeting is really a lead up to the November meeting, which everyone kind of knows about. So there are these two meetings every year, at least, and the main meeting is more of a technical one. So they were talking through a lot of conversations about developing what's called the rule book for the Paris Agreement. So we've developed this agreement, and it's actually entered into force, but we don't have all the rules developed on how we're going to carry that forward. And so all these countries are in the process of figuring out those rules, figuring out the priorities on which rules to do first. And many of those technical conversations were going on at this meeting and really setting the stage for what's going to happen in November.
Well, are other countries kind of scratching their heads about what the U.S.'s role is going to be? There does seem to be sort of the Trump administration hasn't announced whether they are going to stay in the agreement.
There are a lot of rumors swirling and a lot of anxiety, especially in the early days of these talks, when it thought that the Trump administration might actually announce during the first week what their position would be. And that acted as a dark cloud over these talks. A lot of the overarching conversations were supposed to be, how are we going to amp up our efforts to combat climate change? And then you're having these questions dominate about, will the second largest current emitter of greenhouse gases actually pull out of this agreement? But then the Trump administration had actually announced that they will not make the decision until at least the end of the month. And so I think that took away a little bit of the pressure on what the U.S. will or won't do at those particular talks. From the UN in particular, they have tried to deflect or not comment, really waiting to see what will happen before they comment on what possible repercussions could be. But specific countries, specific country delegates have been a little bit more vocal about how they don't think it's a good idea for the U.S. to leave, hinting that there could be a diplomatic fallout for the U.S. if it were to exit this agreement.
So what do we know about what's taking place inside the administration and what they might decide at the end of the month?
You know, I don't think there are a lot of clues just yet on what they might decide. The Trump administration is deeply divided on this issue. You'll have EPA's Scott Pruitt pushing for an exit of the agreement. Then you have U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson pushing to have a seat at the table. Energy Secretary Rick Perry has also advocated staying in, but changing the U.S. climate pledge. A couple weeks ago, it was reported that the group in favor of exiting was kind of winning those conversations. You know, a few days later, it was then announced that the U.S. would not be giving an answer as quickly as it initially been suggested. And so one of the big things that I think is still up in the air, and that there's now an opportunity for with the delay in this decision, is at the end of the month, there is what's called the Group of Seven or G7 meeting, annual meeting in Italy. And the Trump administration has explicitly said that a decision on the Paris Climate Agreement won't come until after that meeting. And this will be an opportunity where President Trump will be meeting with group leaders together, some of whom are very supportive and have been outspoken about wanting the U.S. to stay in the climate agreement. It's a question on what will come of that.
Well, we will continue to read your reporting, and maybe we'll check back in with you after some decision has been made.
Well, that would be great. And thank you so much again for having me on.
Thank you.